people see that too. If you're trying to, you know, sounding like a missionary, trying to convince everyone or wanting everyone to think the same way as one, what for? Just so that they agree with you or something? It shouldn't be one's purpose. Just share or give an opportunity, and then let them think or have whatever idea they want. And if they want to go and listen to another teaching or read some other books, fine, let them, encourage it. It's, you know, if someone wants to go and spend their next holiday on the meditation center, fine. Why is it, or what's one doing? Just accumulating more clinging and more mana, and that's it.
It just takes time to withdraw from that clinging. But
most important thing is whether we find out already what kind of teaching will decrease attachment and what kind of teaching will increase attachment. It's very important.
Can I ask how we find that out? Because the reason I say this is that a lot of people who practice meditation, for example, say they notice a visible decrease in attachment because of that practice. How do they practice? I don't know. But
so we have to find out the cause leading to that. It's just about the result, but what is the cause?
How do we find out which practice? Because as I say, if one goes on one's own experience, I think it can be very misleading.
If I say sit for an hour, is that the increasing way or the decreasing way? Increasing lopa?
I think most of these people don't realize that their objects just change. They may have less attachment to food, to sights, but then their attachment is increasing to their practice. Right, and it's just changing. The object of clinging is just changing.
Well, can I put it another way? If one develops understanding of the reality of the present moment, there may not be any apparent decrease in attachment, because as one goes through life, one's attachments change and they may increase. Doesn't mean one's practice is wrong, though, does it?
What about the understanding? The development is not to have external or outlook, outward appearance. So what's one's purpose of studying? To understand realities, and the understanding will decrease the defilements. It cannot increase more defilements. Otherwise, what's the use of reading the whole Tipitaka, like the Sutta and Abhidhamma, to understand that there are wholesome realities and unwholesome realities?
Could you please say a little more about and how understanding decreases the defilements, please, Ajanti?
Firstly, it decreases ignorance. Ignorance. And ignorance is the cause of all defilements.
Can I say that even though we cannot measure the change in decrease in attachment and ignorance, the urgency to have less of that may manifest, means we can say, the purpose of study is to have less attachment, and that reminder may come more and more often.
Having more and more understanding only, not by the self who is trying very hard to have less attachment.
Right, right. Yeah, of course, to have less attachment, it means to the attachment of the self wanting to have the...
So when one studies and wants to be very arrogant or have mana, one knows that it's only the intellectual understanding, like the scholar by reading, translating, but not the understanding of the purpose of the Buddha's compassion. that he would like everyone to have less and less ignorance and defilements. But when one understands the value of his teachings, one not just read, but one also follows in all manners through deeds and speech.
Can we say that it would be quite misleading for us with this level to think that we want others to have less understanding? Because it can be from a feeling of superiority that we have the understanding, and so, well, we already have the understanding, and you know, they ignorant people should have less.
But you see, that understanding is Dhamma, not mine, not anyone's at all. It does not belong to anyone. It's arisen by conditions, and it has fallen away instantly. So by understanding this, when we have less attachment to the self, less ego or pride.
What I'm trying to say that a lot of people think about helping others, and there is a danger there that it could be motivated by mana, and so thinking about. One should be, when one has such thoughts, one should really check oneself. What is the motivation behind all that?
Who checks?
Right. Sati?
So one understands reality better and better. One knows the characteristic of sati when sati arises. One knows the characteristic of virati jetasika, when at that moment it stops the unpleasant words.
Maybe doesn't encourage the understanding to see the real harm or the danger of unwholesomeness.
We do not talk to children that it's harmless. But we talk to those who study Dhamma to remind them to understand reality as reality. Otherwise, it's like we try to urge them to have the self trying to do something. In Tipitaka, when it says or talks about the way one should know the what's right and what's wrong, to show the difference between the two for the person to consider. And that moment it is Sankara Khanda, not the self, who is trying to do anything. But by developing understanding that it's this and it's that, it's citta or it's jetasika. So one knows that one can know the amount of one's accumulation only when sati arises. Because today you may think that I speak harshly or I do something unpleasantly, but at that moment there is still the idea of self who is doing. But when there is the understanding at that moment, when sati arises, it understands that unpleasant feeling or speech or action that it's motivated by what kind of citta, of reality. So it understands more. And by developing satipatthana, it brings to other deeper understanding of paticchasamuppada or conditions or ayatana, because it's not the word which comes to meet together, but there must be different realities come together to be ayatana. See? Speak to or say to Kunsala, don't do this or that at all, but to children. One can tell what's right and what's wrong.
I think it also depends then on who one's speaking to, because sometimes if one knows someone is clinging a lot to an idea of self who is angry or something, one needs to stress the anattaness of the realities. But other times one needs to stress the danger of akusala. So it just depends on the context, what is appropriate.
That's why there are three Tipitakas, not just one. Sutta, Suttanta Pitaka and Abhidhamma Pitaka and Vinaya Pitaka.
Christine was saying about that there must be a biological factor for example, a mother protecting the baby. There must be a real biological connection. It's not just attachment. So how a biological thing, or is this just plain attachment?
Through which doorway?
I didn't hear.
Through
so.
Which doorway?
I guess it. I think it's got something to do with my confusion between nama and rupa. For instance, we're born and our bodies grow old and die. That just happens. That happens. That's just the process. And I think I was looking at bonding between a parent and a child as a process that.
It's just nama, rupa, prachita, chetasikas, and rupa. Anything else is just thinking.
Can we say the bonding factor is latent in the accumulations all the time, but it's only manifests when, the baby is born, for example, so that there's the tendency for the strong attachment, which is what bonding, we mean by bonding, attachment and bonding, and recognizing that particular other object as having a very special place in our attachment, to put it bluntly.
When I first was meditating, which is only with the last 3 years, it was just the way I was taught to do metta, that you used yourself as the example first, and it seems that the majority of people I come in contact with and the majority of things I read still maintain that.
Does metta have anything to do with meditation? Does metta have anything to do with meditation?
I can see now that it doesn't, in the sense that you don't just choose to sit down somewhere at a particular time and feel metta. I do understand that, but I think it's just the way it keeps being represented, as if there are special occasions when you can have, when you can set aside the time to do it particularly well. But I do understand that, no, it doesn't really. So that it's a moment-by-moment thing.
Can we change the term from meditation into development?
Development. Yes. Maybe.
Do yes. We need time, special time and special place for the development?
No, we don't.
But for meditation we need time and special place,
yes,
for meditation. So
yes,
this is the difference between
the
development of metta,
yes,
which should be developed. Because when one understands that metta is opposite of dosa,
yes,
and metta is that reality which is friendly,
yes,
the friendliness.
Yes.
So there can be any moment of metta when you see different people. And the more you realize that you be friendly to more people, it shows that there's more metta,
yes,
developed. So it doesn't need any stanza to follow, like everybody should have happiness or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the reciting. But the most important thing is the moment of having metta.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going to do something to the others, and then you know that that will hurt that person, and metta can arise,
mm-hmm,
and there's no such action and words.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done,
yes,
anytime,
yes,
okay, any moment.
Yes. Seems so right now. Yeah, thank
Otherwise,
you.
Otherwise, someone might think that I will recite metta for an hour in the room, and when they go out of the house and see something,
yep,
there is dosa instead of metta. So
if
what's
someone interrupts the metta meditation.
Can we say the time to develop metta is when it arises? Is that correct?
To be friendly.
Yeah.
Kusala citta.
Right.
Think of helping the other or ready to help.
Hmm.
Ready to be friendly.
Right. But we do have moments of friendliness towards other people in a day arising naturally without thinking about it. So can we say
it,
that
it metta must be kusala moment. So one can see whether there is a kusala attachment or metta.
Right. But when it arises naturally in a day, spontaneously, can we say that that is an opportunity for there to be awareness of, or that is an opportunity to develop?
To develop what?
Metta.
Metta should be developed anytime, even while one is thinking. Usually one thinks of the others with attachment or aversion, but how many times we think of the other with metta?
When it arises, it can be known. At that moment, if it arises
it
naturally, then it's not attachment.
It depends whether satipatthana arises or not. If satipatthana does not arise, it's me who is so friendly. We do not have such anger or dosa towards others, while the others can have such moments. But the person who has metta doesn't have the same action or speech like those who have dosa.
Does already fallen away moment of metta, and you may notice just a few moments later that it was, and then you know it's not at the moment. Does that have any beneficial effect?
Again.
No, not thinking, not dwelling about it.
The beneficial again.
Yeah, I mean, does it have a an effect in the sense that you might have awareness? Moment.
Can anyone see how subtle lopa is? And it should be eliminated because it's cannot lead one to experience nibbana at all. It distracts all the time.
Actually, I'm not talking about wanting directly to have metta. I was thinking about, suppose there was a moment of metta, there is a moment of metta, and suddenly I just, many millions of chittas later, I noticed that just now there was, but then I know it is just thinking. Does that, that wouldn't be directly to do with metta itself. That is just a moment of realizing that it's just thinking.
It's like planning to do something, wishing, hoping. But what about this moment? It's beyond our expectation.
Still clinging to metta.
And more.
There is a many different level of metta, is that right? Like a moment of thinking about it, and the a level of contemplating about it, and the moment of studying the moment about it.
But the moment metta arises is friendliness.
It's friendliness,
ready to help. When you think of someone, then with metta instead of aversion or attachment. Like we're planning for our life tomorrow or next moment.